everything about this holiday season in folks' memories, from the music they play, to the movies that they show, to the food we prepare. Some foods that are prepared have been made for ages and ages. And to even the clothes that we wear. This is my traditional New Year's Eve. It was Christmas Eve until I came here and you all wear red for Christmas. So it's like, oh, can't wear that. So then we get to this week and all the news shows and all the TV shows and do the in memoriams. And if you can get through TCM's in memoriam without crying, well, you're doing better than I can. So it's kind of almost, it's okay to be sentimental at this time of year. It's almost, I won't say biblical, but almost a mandate. Because in Luke the second chapter, Mary ponders a lot. When the shepherds came, she stored all those treasures in her heart so that she could think about them later. And later, after Jesus goes to the temple and he stays behind, Mary will store all of this, all the things that she's learned again, and she will ponder them in her heart. So all this happens around the Christmas seasons. So it's usually read around the Christmas season. So it's more than okay to ponder these things in our hearts. And Mary has had quite the year. A year ago, she was engaged to Joseph, and things were moving along just fine. And she gets a visit from an angel, and her life is turned. And Joseph gets visited by an angel as well. They were visited by shepherds, and they were visited by wise men, and not to mention giving birth to the Son of God. She's had quite the year. Now it's 33 days later, and by law, Moses declared that she is impure, not sinful, but she is impure because of having given birth. And she cannot participate in the life of the church until she has been purified. So not only are they bringing Jesus to be consecrated to God, which is also mandated by Moses, but they're also purifying Mary so that she can be part of the church as well. The two pigeons or two turtle doves are given in response instead of a lamb. This shows us that Jesus was raised in a poor family, but they were a loving family and they followed God because they gave the two turtles because that's all they could afford. And she listens to what She listens to what Simeon comes along, and he says his proclamation. And she is amazed. Now, she's not amazed at all of it, because the He says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, and a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people." And that to me, to Mary, would be amazing, because when the angel had come to her, he had talked about the glory of God and the glory of Israel, but they hadn't mentioned the Gentiles. The Gentiles? They're not part of us, are they? But God was including them in this new prophet, in this new way of being. And when he comes to her, he says to Simeon, says to Mary, that he is the destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And she had said the same thing in her Magnificat and Mary's song back in chapter 2 when she had gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She said the very same thing, that God will lift up the lowly and bring downfall to the tyrants. So she had felt this connection. And here she allowed this man to take hold of her child. Not many of you, being parents, would have just let a stranger walk up and take your child. But she felt an immediate connection with this man, and she allowed him to take hold of her child so that he could be blessed. And then Anna, they took him, and she blessed him. And she was telling others about her child and the things that he was going to do. Now, by the time they had left that day, they had made a little community of believers. And a community of believers that would be a new movement to bring God's people together with the Gentiles forever. When Jesus was just a baby, God had brought these shepherds to Mary and Joseph, and there was a little community, and they went away praising God. They hadn't before. Up on the hill, while they were, my guess is they were not singing praises to God that night. And the wise men from another nation, they came and worshipped at the feet of our God, just as a baby. And he made these little communities of believers all along his way, so that when the darkness came and the dark times come, there are little glimmers of hope. And we do that here. We do that in our families. We provide that for our friends. But we do that here too. When Mark asked me to preach, I was a little trepidatious. I was still a little trepidatious this morning. But I remembered how kind you were when I preached the last time, and how I had received a note from the deacons thanking me for my service. And I figured it was time. And you have all been patient this morning, and I appreciate that. But our memories are great for another reason. They bring back compliments from people, from strangers and from friends. And Bible verses come to your mind when things are not going your way. And they bring a pat on the back for a job well done. And they bring memories of loved ones gathering together. And that was God's mission. That was Jesus' life, was all about gathering people, bringing them, healing them, bringing them back to God and others. And we thank God for that. And we know that we are not out here, and that this is not the end. Galatians 4:4-7 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, saying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave to sin, but a child, and if a child, also an heir through God." And so we know that we have become adopted into the family of God, so that we can be one of those communities to share and give hope to other people. Amen.